Well, greetings, friends. It's good to have you with us on this Sunday morning, December the 1st. And this is a session that Raven and I are recording in advance. And the reason is that because of the Thanksgiving holiday week and the traveling of a lot of different ones here, we were not going to have a service here in this building on Sunday, but we wanted to be able to share on that Sunday morning with you. And that's the reason there is no music in this particular program, as there usually is on Sunday morning. So we continue, and last Sunday, there were still a good many of us here, and you heard Brother Jim Collins minister last Sunday morning. And of course, I'm doing this right now, and I'm doing it before last Sunday morning. I'm doing this, but Jim is due to be the speaker this coming Sunday, and then because many are not here the next Sunday, so I'm the speaker then, and that's what Raven and I are here recording right now. And I'm going to continue specifically with the one seed of God. But what we're talking about in a general way and in a specific way too is the eternal purpose of God. The eternal purpose of God. But hun, the eternal purpose of God is not something that you can put in a sentence. It's not something that you can really put in a definition. But it has to do with an exalted view of Christ. But you see, everything of our salvation has to do with an exalted view of Christ. What does that mean? It means a view of Christ that's not bound to the earth. A view of Christ that is not earthbound. A view of Christ that is not bound up with a natural mind. It's not bound up with earthly things. It's not bound up with the earth at all. But it is a view of Christ as our salvation that is given of God. Do you remember when Israel was to be delivered out from Egypt, at least in the scripture, do you remember that? And what Moses was told of the Lord to tell Pharaoh. And even before that, how the Lord came to Moses. And Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me?" And he's talking about going back now, because he's in exile for a while. He's staying out of Egypt. And so he's going back, and the Lord said, "Tell them that I am sent you." And it was to Moses that the Lord introduced himself as I am. I am. And of course, that introduction that was given there comes to be fulfilled in Christ himself, in the Son himself. Because, darling, God's view of our salvation, which we can certainly sum up in the term God's eternal plan, God's eternal purpose, God's eternal will. We can certainly sum up the term salvation in those terms, because it's about what salvation in the mind and heart of God has always been, not what sin made it to be. Because you see, many of us think that salvation is something that is because of sin. You understand? And to me, that's a very earthly view of salvation. Something that is primarily coming into existence because of sin. But that's not true. That's also not true that salvation is simply God dealing with sin. It's much, much more than that. It isn't that God does not deal with sin, has not dealt with sin. But it's much more involved than that. Because salvation was purposed of God, planned of God, chosen of God, bound up with a covenant, bound up with a covenant with the Father and the Son before there ever was a world, before man was ever created. Salvation has always been an exalted view of Christ. Always. And the center of salvation, the thing that is central to salvation, has always been the cross from before the foundation of the world. Always been the cross. So you see, you can't make the cross some earthly thing either. But now, don't let me get started on that. But you can't make it some earthly thing. You can't say, well, you know, this is what took some earthly thing. The cross did took care of sin. The cross did a whole lot more than that. Do you know that the cross, in truth, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, a heart to know, the cross is an exalted view of Christ. What is it that Jesus said? John 12, and I'm not going down this line, but what is it that Jesus said? The hour has come that the Son of Man, and that was Christ Himself in flesh, be glorified. Oh, yes. What does He say about that in in John 17? When He's talking to the Father about, I have finished the work that Thou gavest Me to do. I have glorified Thee. And on and on and on. What I'm trying to tell you, hon, is that our salvation is gathered up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the I Am that is fulfilled of God in the Son begin there, at least was introduced there to Moses. And then He told Moses with regard to Pharaoh, you tell Pharaoh that Israel is My son, even My firstborn. Now, Israel, prince with God, all kind of wonderful things. The term Israel has always found its fulfillment, its substance, its person in Christ. You understand that? You need to understand that. In all of God's dealings with the Israelites, from the time of Moses on, and even before that, but from the time of Moses on, he always dealt with them in view of the very thing that they were to be a testimony, a living, walking testimony. And that of which they were to be a testimony was the Son himself. They were to do that as a corporate unity. But you come right over into Christ. You come right over to today. You come right over from that to all things being fulfilled in Christ. You come right over to that to define the body of Christ, as Paul does. And he does that particularly in his book of Ephesians, the letter written there in the letter of Ephesians. He defines those who are in Christ as the body of Christ. He defines the church not being a religion, not being a building, not being a denomination. He defines the church which is his body. The fullness of him. Oh my. Not a place where he visits. Not a place, you know, where he comes and goes. Not a place of which he is a symbolic head. No, a corporate entity of which he is the fullness. That fullness which filleth all in all. Now, Israel was to be a type and shadow of that. We're not a type and shadow of anything. Israel was to be a representative of that very Son. Now, hear me on this. Of that very Son. You and I, who are his body, because he is the fullness that filleth. You and I, who are his body, under such a definition, the church which is his body, the fullness of him who filleth all in all. We're not to be a representation. We're not to be a representation of anything. We are to be the very expression of the reality of our salvation. Not a representation of what will be, but an expression of a reality that is. Not people who are trying to live in a manner in which they can go to a better place. No, but live as a people who have found and are in the better place now. Christ. Even in the heavens, in Christ. But my point again is that God's view has always been of his Son. It didn't start there with Moses. Tell Pharaoh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Of course, that points to the cross and his death, burial, and his resurrection, and his ascension to the Father as the firstborn, and his coming in newness of life on the day of Pentecost? Yes. To actually be what Paul said that he was there at Ephesians, the fullness of his body. To indwell his body. As the firstborn among many brethren. Hun, Israel has always pointed directly to Christ himself. Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Now, the law of the firstborn was set forth in Israel, in the Israelites under Moses. Why? Because they were to be a corporate entity, a corporate representation of the firstborn. And the law of the firstborn was given to them right there in chapter 13 of Exodus. But then the Lord gave a larger view. First it was all Israel and all of the children that were born in Israel, and even all of the cattle and all of the animals and all of that, they all had firstborn, and the firstborn, you know that law. You should know that law because it all points to the true firstborn, which is Christ himself. But then God said, I tell you what now we're going to do. The Levites, number them. Take them out. They are mine. And they will be firstborn unto me, even as they will be a tithe unto me. But all the way through the scriptures, the types and shadows, it has been that way. Now, what I want to talk to you about today is something I started last Sunday that I spoke. This exalted view of Christ from before the foundation of the world. God hath chosen us, not individually, none of that. He hath chosen us in Christ. In Christ. If we can just, I have a hard time of putting it all into words, but if we could just get it, if we could just get in our mind to where we quit looking at people for the evidence of God's salvation. Any people, all people, every people. Period. If we want to find the true evidence of salvation, then we turn to see Christ. Are you hearing me? Quit basing salvation upon how many people have received him, how many people haven't. Quit basing salvation upon that and base salvation upon the one whom those that are saved, born again, have received. Not even looking at, see, if you want to see the church, you have to understand that church. You have to see the church in the face of Jesus Christ. Because the church is his body. There's not a church and a body. The church is his body. It's that way about everything in salvation, hon. Salvation is not now come. Because somebody, anybody, received Christ as their Savior. Salvation is now come because Christ is now come. He left glory. He took upon himself the form of a man. And all of that, he became man. That he may take that whole creation to the cross and put it to death. That he may come forth as the firstborn. Out from among the dead. Only begotten from among the dead. That's why he told his disciples, I will come anew. Just before the cross, he told them that. I will receive you unto myself. He didn't say, I'll come again. He didn't sit down and explain it like, you know, the natural mind would want to hear it. I'm going in here and it's just going to be a day or two, however it was, right before all of that happened. But he didn't emphasize, you know, I'm going to go here and they're going to kill me and then I'm going to be resurrected. Then I'm going to come back and I'm going to sit down with you for a while and I'm going to get you organized and I'm going to show you how to be a church. And then I'm going to go to heaven, and then, one day you'll be there with me. But in the meantime, I will have taught you how to function as a religious organization. And I know I'm being silly, I'm being stupid, but hon, just look around you. The promise of God is fulfilled in His Son. Why? Because the promise of God is given to His Son. Now, let's look at this. The one and only seed of God. The one and only seed of God. Now, this takes us back before Moses and the Israelites. This takes us back before Abraham in the scripture. And it brings us to Genesis 1. And that whole story, if I may call it that, that whole accounting, that's a better term, of the creation. But before we go there, before we go there, I want us to just go to Galatians. Let's just skip over to the end of this lesson because I know we probably won't get to this end. So I want to start with the end here in Galatians. With regard to the seed. Now, this is with regard to the seed that was prophesied here in Genesis 1. The order of which is set forth in Genesis, the creation. And even a prophecy concerning that seed came forth in Genesis. But what I'm reading to you now is God dealing with Abraham concerning that seed. That seed. Paul speaks this in Galatians. I don't have this printed out, so I'm just going to read it. Galatians 3:11. Please listen to me. Verse 8. Yeah, I'll keep backing up. Verse 8. And the scripture before seeing. In other words, the scripture that were given prophetically. The scripture before seeing. That God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. I've just seen something here. Look at that. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse of it, for it is written, everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man that is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. But again, verse 10, for as many as. You know what the answer to the law is? You know what the answer to the Jew as corporate Israel under the old covenant, or to Gentile? But let's just keep it with this, the answer. Romans 6. Verse 3. For as many as. Same as in verse 10 right here concerning the law. For as many as have been baptized into Christ, have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death. That like as Christ was raised up out from among the dead by the glory of the Father, we, having been baptized into his death, having been buried with him in his death, that like as he hath been raised up out from among the dead, likewise, even so, we should walk in a whole new life, should walk in newness of life. And then Paul goes on, but he goes on to say, the answer to it all is that you're dead. In Colossians he says, for you're dead. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When he who is our life shall appear, well, you will appear with him. Where? Where he is. You will appear with him, together with him, in glory. What has that got to do with the seed? Well, we won't reach it today, but it has a lot to do with the seed, because it's the seed that brings about that whole death. It falls into the ground and dies. Well, we'll leave that for a little bit. And the law is not of faith, but man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Here it brings us to the cross. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, everyone that hangeth on a tree. And there's a reason for that. Yes, there is. Just like there was a reason for what I just read to you in Romans 4, buried with him by baptism into his very death. There's a reason for that. That that in the same manner and in the same reality and in the same greatness that he was raised up out from among the dead, he may also live in us, that we may have newness of life. Yes, there's a reason for that. But nothing else will bring you there. Nothing will get you out from under the law, except you become dead to it. But it's the same thing for the world. Nothing will get you out except you become dead to it. But in Christ Jesus, alive unto God. The blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, see? Through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham, this is where I'm going, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many. Not even of He saith not as to seeds of two, or three, or four. No, of many. He saith not. To seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. I had planned on reading the rest of that chapter to you. If you want to read it, you can read it. We'll probably come back over it again in future lessons. But I'm going to talk to you about the seed here for a few more moments. I just want you to know who the seed is we're talking about. Because most believers do not. Many doctrinal viewpoints are built on the wrong seed. Built on the seed of many. Not on the seed of God. Which has been represented in many, which has been represented in one, which has been represented in, you know, even represented in Abraham's time in one. At least it was down to one seed, but it was represented in one seed, Isaac. But that too was a representation. It's not represented in Christ. Christ himself is the one seed to whom all of the promises of God concerning salvation, and all the promises of God are concerning salvation, not just that which deals with sin, but that which has with it an inheritance, that which has with it the glory, that which has with it union with the Father. Salvation, honey. And the whole promise of it is concerning that one seed. It's to that one seed. Not just about him. The promise is to him. The covenant was made with him before the world was. Oh my. I'm talking about an exalted view of Christ. I'm talking about not just seeing Christ as what he has done for you or what he has done for me. Not just basing our understanding on Christ of things that he has done for us or will do for us or we want him to do for us. No. I'm talking about a view that lifts him up above all things, a view to which the eyes of our understanding can be opened, that we see in Him all things planned, purposed, willed, given of God. And we're starting with this thing on the seed. Now, Genesis 1. And here we go through all of these verses. Genesis 1, right on through Genesis 1, 1 through 5, then Genesis 1, 6 through 8, and then Genesis 1, 9 through 13, and then Genesis 1, 14 through 19, then Genesis 1, 20 through 23, then Genesis 1, 24 through verse 28. Then Genesis 1, 29 through 31. I'm talking about the whole first chapter of Genesis is what I'm talking about. And I don't want to stay with this just right now, because what's there is this divine order in which God does all things that He has done, indeed that which He hath done in Christ, because everything else was a type and shadow of it. And it's a tremendous order. First, there was light, but that light was divided from the darkness. That light is, in the strictest sense, the testimony of Christ. The testimony of Christ. Christ, the light. The verse there would be, God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And He called the light day. And in the King James, that's capitalized. And the darkness He called night. And again, that's capitalized. And the evening and the morning, which is not capitalized, were the first day. The first thing in order. And then it continues. After that, there is the heaven. After that, there is the earth. Again, speaking of a spiritual order of things. But then with regard to the heaven and the earth, that it be filled, that it be fruitful concerning one seed and one kind. In that creation, everything was by the seed that was in it, or the kind that it was. There's no mixture there. And I'm not going to stay on that, but there's no mixture there. You can see, as you go through just a simple form of that order, you can see that it was a pattern, a type, a shadow of a creation that was yet to come. The creation that is now come in Christ. And that's the creation that testified of Him. That's the very creation that He brings to an end at the cross. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things, even that that spake of Him, are passed away. Behold, the new is come. But see, I don't want to really stay with that. My only point was to emphasize that from the beginning of the Scripture, from the first corporate type and shadow of Christ, the creation, There was one seed and one kind. No mixture. No mixture. Israel was the Israelites under Moses and on through under the Old Covenant were to be a representation of that. And you and I both know they sinned against that time and time and time again. No mixture, no mixture, no mixture, no mixture. But they were a mixture almost from the beginning. And so they come under the law, and all that they came under and all that God did in their midst was without mixture. Tabernacle was without mixture, so much so that nothing in it could be mixed with, you understand? It was all mixture. The robes of the priest, the robes of the high priest, on and on and on. No mixture. Because it was representative of one seed. One seed. There is no mixture in that seed which is Christ. No mixture there. And I can't take the time right now to of all the thoughts that are coming to my mind, but you can't put, you remember the stories that you can't put new wine and old wine flat, and all that is told about that, and a patch of new material on old material, and on and on. All that is talking about is no mixture. Hon, Christ lives in me. Let's get down. Let me just bring it to where I want to take it. Christ lives in me. He is my life. There is no mixture. It's not me and Christ. It's I am crucified with him. I am baptized into his death, buried with him. He's the one that has come forth out from among me, the dead. Then how is it that I, the dead that he came out from, now live only because he, and he alone, lives in me? My God, hon, the soul was made for such a life. The soul was created for such a life. And the soul is most certainly redeemed for only and by only one living in that soul. And that one is the seed of God. And that's the reason Paul goes on to say in Galatians, therefore, if you be Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T, apostrophe S, those who are Christ's, if you be his, then you are of, is the way it's written, then you are of Abraham's seed, which is Christ. You are of Christ. If you be Christ, then you are of. You are of the seed of God. He is the seed of God. You are the body. Not the body of his death. You were brought into his death. But now you are the body of his resurrection. Hallelujah to the Lamb of the living God. Quickened together, raised together, seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There is no other seed or seeds. There is just that seed of God who is Christ, who did fall into the ground and die, who is raised up out from among the dead, and who now lives in the body of his resurrection. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15, but some say, how are the dead raised up? With which bodies do they come? And he says, oh, you foolish people. Don't you understand that that body that is buried is not that which is raised up? But God giveth to every seed his own body. And he goes on to explain the seed that he's talking about there is Christ, who died in weakness but was raised up in strength. Oh yeah, what he took into his death was the weakness of man. All men, everywhere, Jew, Gentile, don't make any difference. Died in humility, died in weakness, but raised in glory. Like as Christ was raised up out from among the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should live in newness of life. You see, hon? And that's what Paul is teaching here. He's not teaching Jew against Gentile or Gentile against Jew. He's teaching the seed of God and the faith of Abraham. And he's saying that the law, which came 400 years later, did not make that faith, that seed, null and void. And that that very law could not bring you into the salvation of that seed or into the promises given to that seed. And the Gentiles are no better. Both Jew and Gentile had to come by way of his death and live only because he now lives in us who are in him, not Jew or Gentile, or any other form of humanity. For it is Christ who liveth in me. And these bodies we got, which is the only thing that's kin to any humanity I know anything about, perish. And we have the treasure in them, but it's not of them. And yet the perishing of these bodies don't change a thing. We're still that body of Christ. See, you can't see the church that way by looking at what we call the church. Even if it was perfect, you can't see the reality of his body by looking at anyone in the flesh, not even by looking at Christ in the flesh. For therefore we know him no more. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, hon. To the seed belong all the promises. And I was going to go through, and I still will. I'm not through with this yet. This introduction in Genesis, but it brings us to the seventh day, the Sabbath day, which is another whole story in itself, because there stands Christ. There he stands, right there in Genesis. There he stands. The Sabbath. The Sabbath. There's no evening and morning and no, none of that. Not there. Not with the Sabbath. The only day God blessed, sanctified, claimed unto himself, Christ is right there. Oh, Lord. It's a tremendous thing there. But there's also the promise to the seed there. And he said that to Satan. this seed, the woman's seed. Well, that's true because he was born of a woman, yes, yes, given a body of God. You know that, but it points directly to Christ, the seed. And in the flesh, he was as the seed of David, but in resurrection, he was shown to be the Son, the eternal seed of God. We should all know that. That seed shall bruise your head. Well, then with Abraham and his seed, where we find all nations blessed. All nations are not blessed by seeds, they're blessed by the seed. Hon, you and I need to come to a real view of our salvation. And if we do, we will have come to a real view of Christ Himself. May the Lord work that in our hearts so that we can see. Those who have received Him may see, understand who they've received and what He has made unto us because of who He is. That's enough this morning. Thank you for being with us on this Sunday morning. May the Lord richly bless you. And if we can be of any help to you, let us know, please. Let us know. But we wanted to just continue to reach out to you this Sunday as we do on all the other Sundays and in all of the other time slots that we occupy on the internet systems. It is our joy to share with you. And for you who share with us and help us to do what we're doing, I need to tell you thank you. And I need to impress on you how much we appreciate you and how much we appreciate what you're able to do, because it enables us to do what we are doing right now, even in what you are seeing. And our desire is that we go beyond ourselves throughout the Lord's body around the world with this gospel. Thank you for helping us do that. And thank you for your fellowship with us in Christ. Amen. Amen.